good morning, Honorable Members and Honorable Senior Officials from the Department and the NRF, led by Dr. Kobela. My name is Lindwe Masebo. I'm the chairperson of the committee. I'll start by introduction before I even make my welcome remarks. Dr. Lotri.
Good morning, Annelie Lotriet.
Good morning, Chantal King.
Mrs. Tandy.
Good morning. My apology, Chair. Good morning, my name is Tandy Mpulo. I'm a member.
Good morning, my name is Agnes Stuck. I'm a member of the committee.
Good morning, Nobuzo Landungeni, member of the committee.
And good morning, Nick Kurnoff.
Good morning, Sureshni Governor, Parliamentary Communication Services.
Good morning, Adla Arnold, Thank you, Advisors.
Good morning, Bongi Walufundo from the State Law Advisors.
Good morning, Beni Shongwane from DST Legal Services.
Morning, Steve Mohapi from DST Legal Services.
Morning, my name is Rosen Caesar. I'm from the DST.
Good morning, Honorable Members. Mulapa Kobela from the National Research Foundation.
Good morning. My name is Jacob Mashango from the National Research Foundation.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa Sombe from the Department of Science and Technology.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. I'm Barbara Lutz. I'm the Parliamentary Legal Advisor.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Members and everyone else. I'm Rene Osborne Mullins, the Content Advisor for the Committee.
From behind, Martin.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Martin Mulcahy. I'm currently in limbo.
The front.
Good morning, Chair. I'm also in limbo as well, Luyanda France.
Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Nandipa Tsetsane from the Office of the Director General, Science and Technology. Chair, I'm not in limbo. I'm still with the science.
Thank you very much. Welcome everybody once again. We have this meeting this morning under the new minister. You're not in limbo. You can't go to higher education. You must remain. firstly, I apologize for my voice. I've got flu. I was down. Couldn't even come yesterday. There's a flu. Terrible flu in summer. But we very excited of the development, and we know that the new minister, with her energy, will also continue from where Minister Pando left off. I've worked with her over years. Also when she was also besides the outside parliament, but also when she was chair of telecommunication, I was there as a member. We worked very well. So I know her ability, I know her energies, I know her content. January was last month. we just like it long, got 8 weeks, you see, January. So she came to make a presentation on the fourth industrial revolution. We had a workshop of Africa region, Commonwealth Women Parliamentarian. It was hosted in KZN, and her insight and her presentation, also touching on DST, was very interesting. So she already have. She saw that information because she was Minister of Communication, but knew that science and technology played a very important role. And she was highlighting some of the areas of weakness that she She was saying that you're not on Facebook, we're not on Twitter, we're not tweeting enough science and technology. But I said, no, I know that there are members who are tweeting, although I'm not on Twitter and Facebook, but there are those who do, and I do get the feedback. So we're looking forward to working with her, and as I said, taking the department forward, all the projects and the things that we've done by previous ministers, and especially Minister Pando. We also want to thank her for having been a minister that we are responsible for oversighting, what she's done, her energies, exposing South Africa, the SKA, and everything else to the world, and the amount of work and energy that she has put. We worked very well with her, and we will definitely miss her. But whatever she had started, we believed in, and we'll ensure that we take it forward. And as a committee, our oversight work doesn't depend on who the minister is. We will continue doing what we are known to doing best. And for now, we are focused on the National Research Foundation, the amendment bill, and also the amendment of the principal bill. We've got in front of us the comments. as I said, we have our own style of doing things, and it makes it very interesting and very easy to follow. Barbara has proposed that she's not going to fly to this so that we can follow it well, so that we don't look on the screen and on the paper. So she'll take us through this, but also the state law advisor will also come in. She has also given me some of the proposals that they have, and I think some of it takes us forward on the issues that we raised last week, and she will explain on that. And so I think we will start by giving to Barbara to take us through, and then Sis Bongi, you will come in. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. Chair, I would just like to put on record, I have not seen the comments that Chair is referring to. We did, as support staff from our side, share our comments with the state law advisors. If there's new comments, I have not had the opportunity to consider them, so I'm going to be speaking off the cuff then. But I also, in my correspondence with my colleagues from the state law advisors yesterday, I did say I welcome, they have seen the documents that I'm presenting. If at any stage they feel that they wish to comment, I have tried to incorporate the comments that I did receive from them as far as possible, but any new ones I unfortunately don't have in this document because I did not have time to consider.
It's okay, Barbara. You take us through. It's not much, but it's something that also takes us forward. It's fine. Thank you.
I just wanted to apologize if it's not in here. It's not intentional. Members, as is the committee's practice, the document has an additional column which now shows the NRS proposals as well, but it shows the in black print it is the Principal Act, and then everything that's red shows the amendment bill proposals as tabled, read into the Principal Act, and then in the second column it is the blueprint, it's the NRS proposals from last week. And in the third column, we worked through it very quickly. Within a week, we take our time to sit through it. We flagged some of the concerns members had, some of the comments that we don't know how it fits in, and there's a few proposals there. With the first one, which is just the long title, the department made mention of that it should be human capacity instead of human capital. So we took that straight through. And then Chair also has a question the NRF that had human capacity instead of human capital. And Chair also mentioned the question of, but if they're talking about promote, support, and advance, shouldn't advance then be incorporated throughout?
So we put that in the long title as well. It's for the committee to decide whether it belongs there or not in the content of the bill, but that is there preliminarily. Further than that, we didn't pick up anything that does not align. In consultation with Renee, she explained that human capacity is a term that is used more often now in the realm of the Department of Science and Technology, but that's a policy decision completely. And Chair, would you like me to start with everyone, with each section, or?
I think let me encourage honourable members to raise issues as we go along, so that then it becomes easy. You don't have to go back. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Anything on this particular one? Okay. Please continue.
Chair, then with the definition section, there was a few things that was added. The bill as tabled read in with the Principal Act had a definition of, for the department means the Department of Science and Technology. Then the NRF came and said, but it's only used once, so why have it there? Last week, I quickly just made a comment of the fact that it's for administrative purposes that the department and the minister is identified so that Parliament knows who to do oversight over and who to hold responsible for the implementation of any piece of legislation.
Advocate also if you, on any of the points as you go on also with the document, if you can come in.
Thanks, Chairperson. Indeed, the document in front of you, it was a consultative document, and it was agreed to between us and the parliamentary legal advisors. But we did not agree on one point on the definition of the minister, reason being that the definition of the department, reason being that it's not referred to anywhere in the bill nor the act. Then that would make it redundant, because there would be no need to define something that is not appear in the Act at all. But I understand the explanation given being that now the question will remain, who's responsible for the administration of the Act? And for clarity then, hence we're proposing as an alternative, a subsection to the, under the definition section, to give clarity in relation to that. So in that instance, it will clarify who's responsible for the implementation of the Act. Thanks, Shepard.
So you can read it out, your inclusion.
Yes, basically we're saying this sub 2 must be inserted in the amendment bill.
It's on this separate page right at the bottom. It says the department responsible for science and technology is responsible for the administration of this act. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank
you. Chair, with your permission, if I can comment on that, I did discuss it with my seniors, the definition issue with our senior drafter in our office, and the options, we did discuss it. There's a consistency issue here, which I will have to discuss with my colleagues as well, my seniors, because it's still in the definitions clause. So you're calling it a definition, but not a definition, and your drafting conventions are guidelines. Just the fact that there is this guideline rule that says if something is only used once or if it's not, it should not be in the definitions clause, that's a guideline. And the in-text definitions as well is more Commonwealth-based because your legislation is voluminous. So these guidelines have all developed for practical purposes. I understand what my colleagues are trying to do to try and incorporate the rule and keep that all in there. My concern is just we're still in a definitions clause, but now we're trying to make something not a definition in a definitions clause where there is no real, there is nothing if a committee can justify from a practical and administrative perspective why a definition for departments and ministers is in there. There's nothing preventing a committee. There's no hard and fast rule. Drafting rules are conventions that prevents that. So I note what my colleague from the department is is presenting. It is for the committee to ultimately decide, but just to communicate the discussion that I had with my principals on why it is also important to keep consistency and the administration of the bill with due regard to the fact that the drafting rules are conventions and therefore guidelines.
Thanks. I think the concern of the committee last week was that if an ordinary person picks up the bill and they want to know what line of department is responsible for that particular bill, they wouldn't know. We will know, and also probably the stakeholders, but somebody who comes after me and after members and after whoever and picks up the bill will not know, you know. Yeah, I think that was the rationale behind that whole thing. Advocate, yes.
If the problem, Chairperson, is with the heading saying definitions, and we could say definitions and interpretation, and that happens in a number of legislation that has passed by Parliament, you would have the definition section, and then subsection 2 is basically the interpretation. And by that, we're trying to say now the interpretation, it means that you're trying to assist a person who's reading this legislation in moving forward and also in understanding now with the proposal that we're making. We're trying to make an understanding of the person who will be responsible for the application of the bill. Hence now, if we can put the heading there to say definition and interpretation, that will suffice, and that is not the first time. Parliament has passed many laws with this example. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Okay. Barbara.
Thank you, Chair. My proposal as it is on the document is also just for the record to keep it for the everyday man if he picks it up to understand it. Like I said, it's now for the committee to decide. Parliamentary Legal Services feels it should be in the definitions. I hear my colleague, and that proposal is now on the table for the members. So to Chairperson, with permission to...
Maybe at this point, let me give it to honourable members to comment on. Honourable King?
I understand what clearly is being said here, but I do not understand why do we have to add in for the administration of this act. It is clear then that the Department of Science and the Department responsible for science and technology will then take the responsibility of the administration, given that the National Research Foundation is part of one of the entities. So it doesn't. It's like a dual thing for me. I think we should just leave it as proposed to say the department responsible for science and technology is quite clear and simple.
Any other member? Dr. Lutrit?
No, I agree with that.
Corona?
I also agree with that. Later on, there is a definition for the minister. And then obviously there we refer to science and technology. So there is, it is clear that it is science and technology. I don't see any harm by referring to the department in the way it's done in the third column.
Thank you, Honourable Dongen. You're fine. Tuck?
Thank you, Chair. Then last week the NRF raised a concern with the referral to divisions in the foundation, and that was done with reference to Section 12, where there is the possibility for the foundation to set up certain divisions within the foundation to help with its functioning. On considering the phrasing of Section 12, initially I thought that listening to the department or to the NRF that it was an obligation for divisions.
Can you refer us to a page when you...
The definition is on page 3, and then the section 12 that it's speaking to is on page 26.
Okay.
So on page 26, where the divisions of the foundation is allowed for, initially listening to the NRF, I thought it was an obligation. Because concerns were raised about the fact that there's allowance for divisions, but divisions are never set up, and then nobody checks why these divisions aren't there. Reading the section then again, it's a may. It's empowering the foundation that if there is a need for divisions to be set up to help with its functioning, that it can do so. So for that reason, I think it's a interpretation a difference where they may have seen it as an obligation. In a may, it doesn't say an obligation. It's for a functionality perspective. For that reason, if the committee keeps Section 12, which the NRF would also then like deleted, for future purposes, the foundation going forward may require, if it grows and for functionality, to have these divisions. So that's a policy decision. If the committee decides to keep Section 12, then the definition for division would have to stay. If the committee deletes Section 12, then by implication, as a consequence, that division definition can go.
Do you want to discuss it when we get to Section 12? But while we continue, you can just think about it. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Then further on the bill as tabled, and the NRF didn't have any comments on that. The FRD and HSRC is proposed to be deleted, as well as national facilities. Whether these stays or goes is a functionality and a policy decision. Then they have inserted national research facilities. And then here again, in that definition of the proposed national research facilities, the NRF has proposed that human capital be replaced with human capacity. So that's just a consequential from that first proposal. President has been deleted before. Regulation is
which
changed.
Page are you in?
Oh, sorry, four. I'm just reading through the. I'm going down the list of definitions. Apologies. So on page four, research institution is being replaced merely to mean the institution contemplated in section 5A, which is being inserted. So just for that, it's a consequential knock-on effect because you're inserting a 5A. The definition must now just refer to that instead of writing it out completely. And then still on page four, Chair, science engagement. Just in discussions with Renee from a content perspective, I couldn't answer her, and she had the question as well, which made sense to me, is the rationale for the inclusion of the phrase target groups of society instead of simply society or public is not clear. So that's maybe something that the department could give the committee some clarity on to assist in deciding whether the insertion of science engagement is a definition that the committee would wish to approve.
Can we ask the department at this point to comment on that?
Thank you. The reason why we have these targeted groups, it's coming from the science engagement strategy. So the strategy classifies different groups that will be targeted in terms of creating awareness of science. But seeing that the Act is actually an overarching document, I agree with the suggestion that maybe we need to open it because ultimately what we want to reach is the whole population of South Africa. So I think it should be open enough to allow that.
Members of the committee, honorable members, you're fine with that? Okay. So Barbara, thanks.
Chair, just for guidance with the committee, prefer society or public as the replacement to open the section up or to open the definition up? Targeted groups of society,
yeah.
Must it be replaced with society or
yeah.
Public? Is there a preference?
Is it society and public at large or? What is the best one? Public. Public. Okay. Advocate, you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Then through you on page five, technology the bill is proposing to delete the definition of technology and replace it with means the manner through which knowledge accumulated through research or observation finds practical application. So it's just the rephrasing. That's happening there. And then, Chair, that is the definition section. Must I pause there for the committee to comment if anything else wants to be added or deleted in the definition section?
Yes. Honorable Fuller.
I just need a clarity around the issue when they say technology means the manner through which knowledge accumulated through research or observation. Now, if that knowledge is there and it was, there's no research but the knowledge is there, where? Because for me it's like they're saying only knowledge that will be allowed, it will be the one that has been researched. Maybe the English is a challenge. I need clarity around that.
Your proposal is and or research and or observation. Instead of it's now research or observation, as it's a choice whether it's this one or that one. So if you say research and or observation, then it brings both of them. It's not either or. Is that my interpretation of your question? That you want both of them be included so that you... Yeah, so if you say and or, then both of them, I'll be guided by... Advocate? Okay.
My question is around... I'm looking at the one that they're deleting in terms of indigenous knowledge.
Let's finish this one first.
No, I'm talking about the same thing.
Okay.
I think they're deleting this one where they deleted indigenous knowledge and put this one that I'm questioning.
Okay.
So hence I'm saying, now what about the indigenous? Is it inclusive? Because it's not really clear whether the indigenous knowledge will be there. And for me, if that is the case, it's like it will be hanging. Because now it says we are not recognizing the indigenous knowledge.
You've just passed the indigenous knowledge. Okay. Who do you want? Advocate? Still thinking?
No. My interpretation is on the choice between and or. You can't use both and or. It's either or we use and. Either of the two.
Department?
I think on the first one, on the use of and or, for me, I think when you use or, it's open enough. It's not restrictive. But when it's and, it's, you know, there are boundaries around. It should be research and observation. But when it's or, it can either be research or observation.
The issue of indigenous knowledge.
On the issue of indigenous knowledge, we've actually revised the definition of science and technology to include indigenous knowledge. So already, if we go back to the definition of research, okay, research is on page 4.
That's research means the generation, preservation, augmentation and improvement of knowledge by means of scientific investigation and methods in the field of science and technology. I think the issue that Honorable Mfulo is raising is specifically indigenous knowledge.
Okay. Sorry, it's actually included in the definition of science.
Science includes any system of knowledge attained by verifiable means and the organized body of knowledge humans have gained by research. So it's any system of knowledge. Honorable Mfulo, I can see your eyes are still questioning. Please, your question, your concern, you can raise.
I can hear they said it's inclusive, but most of the time it's so vague that at the end of the day, nothing is happening. So I'm just afraid of that because I realize that we will be encompassing everything, but when it comes to the real issues, it's neither there nor here. That is my concern, but if they say it's encompassed, I don't know.
Honorable King?
So to the actual definition on page 1, I think that will then solve this whole situation. It says to provide for the promotion of research, both basic and applied, and human capacity development in the various fields of science and technology, including humanities, social science, and indigenous knowledge.
Yeah, thank you, Honorable Fuller. Thank you, Honorable King. Yeah, thank you. All right. So we are on page 5.
Thank you, Chair. Page 5, then, Chair, through you, Honorable Members, Section 2, that the NRF had no comments on that. It's merely to include a reference to the Public Management Act to make that applicable to the Foundation. So that's just a technical insertion.
Honorable Members, are you okay with that? Okay, thank you. NRF, you're fine. Renee? Okay.
Sorry, members, it's when you try and retype everything, it must say public finance management, but we have that in the actual document, and that's just a typo on my... Yeah. No, sorry, that is my fingers typing faster than my eyes can read. Then, Chair, with your permission, the next section on page 5 speaks to the object of the Foundation. I know there were some...
Object of Foundation.
Yeah, that's the... Yes, Object of Foundation. That is on the bottom of page 5, going over to page 6. That is the... Just brief... I think it's better clarified. It was a very short description in the principal act, and the bill is outlining specific areas of focus, which gives clarity. And as Chair said, if anybody picks up the bill or the act, to understand what the Foundation does. So for that purpose, it gives that further clarity in the amendment. And then the only thing that...
Can I just say, you see on there where you're starting, it says the object of the Foundation is to contribute at the heading and the top, it says object of Foundation. It's supposed to be object of the Foundation? Or is it right like that? But then just inconsistent with what is on page 6.
It's more just a drafting style, Chair, with the titles, it's a little bit more concise, but the meaning remains the same. So with that one, Chair, the only, once again, proposal that the NRF had was that human capital become human capacity. It is for the committee to decide whether they want to add anything to the object or feel that anything needs clarification from a policy perspective, but there is nothing... From our side that we could pick up that was an issue legally or a content one.
Renee.
Thank you, Chair. As Barbara stated, we had worked through this and we hadn't picked up anything that we found, you know, to be sort of a misnomer or out of place or anything like that, and we also both felt that it did describe the function, what the Foundation was about much more clearly than what the original act had done.
Honorable Member? We're fine. All right. Thank you. NRF? Or the TST?
Chair, thank you for the opportunity. I think it'll go back to the issue of advancement. And if I may, with your permission, Chairperson, ask whether it would be ideal if we could talk about supporting, promoting, and advancing research. And if we do that, Chair, I would also be grateful your indulgence to go back to page 1, the principal act and the bill, for consistency of language, where we are then talking about to provide for supporting, promoting, and advancing research. The advance in the blue refers to science engagement in that paragraph where it reads to promote science engagement, and that I think it's a different issue. So you're advancing research at one level, but here you're only advancing science engagement. Thank you, Chair.
I agree with what has been proposed.
Afra?
Thank you, Chair. I made a note of that, and if the committee is in agreement with that proposal, we will include it as such.
Honourable members? Okay. As Dr. Covella has... Okay. Thank you. So, Barbara...
Thank
we'll incorporate
you.
That.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes, Chair. I made a note of that, and I say to Renee, I'll make sure that she explains the distinctions as well to me, just content-wise, so that I can make sure that it's at the right spot. Then, Chair, also at the bottom of page 6, going over to page 7, there is the inclusion of 3A, the powers of the Minister to issue policy guidelines. There was a proposal from the NRF that the title should rather read to determine national policy. That is a policy decision for the committee to take whether they would like, how members would like that phrased. Then, Chair, the only issue that the NRF had in their presentation last week is they would like subsection 2, which says the minister may, after consultation with the foundation, issue national policy guidelines for the implementation of policies referred to in subsection 1 deleted. Whether the committee would like that subsection to stay or follow the NRF proposal to delete it as a policy decision, Chair.
I think last week the section 2 was seen as more a repetition, but we agreed that it must be deleted, and that instead of minister to issue but to determine national policy, I think the committee agreed with that. Dr. Lodrick?
Thank you, Chair. I don't think we'd agreed on that. We were just going through the different, because I have a serious problem with a minister determining national policy. One always has to keep in mind that one writes legislation for the poorest possible minister and not for the best possible minister. So the dangers inherent in determining national policy for me is problematic, and I would much prefer the bill issue policy guidelines after consultation, and that two still remain. After consultation with the foundation, issue national policy guidelines. That to me leaves it open. I think this is the kind of clause that can come back to bite one.
Okay, thanks. I thought that we had said we delete. Other members of the committee? Honorable Goranov?
Chairperson, I intend to agree. You know, with the former minister, we were spoiled to have probably the best minister in cabinet being our minister. But if that was not the case, you know, to give those powers to a minister to determine national policy, it is wide.
Dr. Covera.
Can I just say, before there is reaction, then I will rather go back to say after consultation with the foundation, because then there's a fallback.
Can you read the whole thing that you propose? You want to retain section 2 or the second clause 2?
Yes.
To retain, okay. Dr. Covell? Chairperson, part of the rationale of the National Research Foundation proposing that ministers issue national policy is that at the moment, for instance, we're going through a process of the minister reviewing a key policy document, being the white paper on science and technology. And in law, that's the authority of a minister to do. There are times when you need certainty in terms of policy of government, and the necessity of a minister having authority to make national policy after consultation with all concerned, we feel it's necessary to bring policy certainty, to have clarity of purpose, to get a sense that this is what the country wishes to see relative to what the organization through the board may establish as a policy of the organization. And I think whether there are guidelines issued or there's a national policy issued, the organization still has to develop its own the organizational policy to implement and realize that national policy. So the logic, Chairperson, of having a national policy is to ensure that we have certainty. If there are challenges, and I think the state law advisor and the legal advisor to Parliament hopefully can comment, if there are challenges to certain actions that the foundation may undertake, and if they're inconsistent with national policy, then clearly we would be found wanting. But if they are consistent with national policy, then I think there is what I would call there's a safer space. And my just last conclusion, in my previous life, Chair, I used to be in the Department of Education, where Martin will be going back to. And the late Carter Asmal issued a national policy on language policy in higher education. It was an enabling policy, but then institutions then developed their own policies in line with that national policy. But it helped, for instance, the University of Pretoria and the University of Free State recently when they were challenged about their own institutional policy with regard to language of instruction, because there was a national policy which provided, which is stronger than guidelines. And I think that was the logic, Chairperson.
GST?
Actually, one of the key reasons why the Act was amended was to codify the minister's power in terms of determining policy. So basically, this section is attempting to do that. But maybe what we may need to talk about then is the words and the phrasing that is used to ensure that what we want to achieve is achieved. Because the Act, as it stands currently, it doesn't give the ministers power over power to announce policy on science and technology.
Look, before you come back, let me take.
Thank you, Chairperson. The issue of the minister determining policy, Chairperson, I think it's already a settled issue because it's a constitutional issue that the constitution grants to executive members. So the minister already has that power. That's where the department is coming from. That constitutionally, the minister already has that power, and now it's only clarified in the NRF Act to determine national policy, like Dr. Q has already alluded that the previous minister in higher education has already done it. It's a constitutional power that ministers have. We are just clarifying it in this Act. We are not giving her more powers than she already has. Thank you.
Advocate.
Chairperson, mine is to clarify the provision as it is now, both sub 1 and sub 2. And what I'm trying to say is that those two provisions are separate of each other. The first one is empowering the minister to determine national policy for research to be implemented by the foundation. Subsection 2 is empowering the minister now to issue guidelines on the implementation now of the policies already determined in terms of subsection 1. So I'm not following the argument about subsection 2 being a repetition of subsection 1 because it's already given under sub 1. Sub 1 is empowering them to develop a policy for implementation by the foundation. But how the foundation is going to deal with that, then in subsection 2, minister is going to develop guidelines to assist the foundation in implementing now the policy determined under sub 1. Regarding the power of the minister to issue policies, to determine policies, yes, that power is already entrenched in the constitution. I agree with the department in that respect.
Okay. Members were saying that section 2 must be brought back.
Chair, I'm not a legal person, but I wish to just advance an issue, Chairperson. Policies are expected to be enabling, to guide, to ensure that the implementing organization understands how to implement and what is expected of it. I think to begin to issue a policy and then tell somebody how they should actually then implement it may read it as the policy itself being unclear about intention, being unclear about expectations. And so the idea is that there will always be an organization who will implement policy, whether it's a white paper or any other policy, but the issuing of how you go about now doing your work is something that we thought is unnecessary. Especially if a policy is clear in terms of what it's supposed to articulate.
Barbara?
Thank you, Chair. I agree with my colleagues from the department and the state law advisor there. It is policy is an executive function, as making legislation is parliament's function. That's constitutionally entrenched. I would just like to highlight, and I think that may also come into how colleagues from the NRF they're reading subsection 2. I would like to highlight that after consultation with the foundation, the minister will be taking into account consultations with the foundation when presenting the guidelines. Yes, minister does not have to agree with them, but minister will consult with the foundation. So it's not as if the policy and the guidelines will be standing separate from the foundation. And I think there's an analogy to be drawn here with legislation and regulations. Legislation, just because legislation requires the regs to be put in place to give more detail, does not by implication mean the legislation is unclear or vague or not relevant. And I think that's with that section one, subsection 1 and 2, it's the same. The policy and then the guidelines. The guidelines then, in consultation with after consultation with the foundation, will give the minister the opportunity to just add where defining is necessary, the same way that regulations add to primary legislation. That's how I read that. That's just my interpretation of that, but I think the after consultation may give the foundation some sort of ease that it doesn't read to me as a forced position that is being put on a foundation. It's just merely stating that the minister has these constitutional powers and this is the way that it can be exercised.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the motivation that the NRF has submitted to the committee when Dr. Q did the presentation last week, we indicated that the power to issue guidelines, our understanding at least, is that the power to issue guidelines are inherent in the minister's power to issue policy, as the colleagues have already indicated, constitutionally. What is not appearing or what did not appear in the presentation was also the consideration that there is, in our understanding, there is nothing stopping the minister when approached by the implementing agency, being the National Research Foundation,
on a policy, on something, that, on a matter that is not clear in terms of the policy, to say, can you issue a, can the minister issue a statement of clarity, which is not a legislated action in terms of the act, but to clarify whatever issue that might appear to be unclear in the policy, and therefore taking away the need to then stipulate in legislation and having to have a consultative process to simply clarify an issue of implementation, because the policy that is determined by the minister is specific to the object of the act, and the implementation of the act reside with the foundation, and therefore the interaction is between the foundation and the ministry, and therefore the approach is to seek clarity and for the minister, without any formal process that has to be gone through, to issue that statement of clarity. But we will be guided by the committee. Thanks, Chair.
May I ask honourable members? Koronov.
Chair, I hear what they're saying, but let's flag this and move on. We can come back, you know, at a later stage to that.
Martin.
Thank you, Chair. Just a little point of an example of the difference between policy and the guideline. For example, the minister could issue or develop a policy which would talk about the transformation of the scientific community in terms of the demographics of our country. That's a broad intention. That should represent the demographics of the country. Our top scientists should represent both gender and race. Then the minister could issue guidelines in consultation with the National Research Foundation that has the responsibility, a particular responsibility, to say, over the next 5 years, we expect to see this type of change taking place. So that's a guideline which is based upon resources available, the ability of the institution to develop those, and that would change over a period of time. But the policy context would not change. That remains in place. And I think that's the distinction between these two clauses. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Martin. So it then help us to bring back subsection 2. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, just to then come back to the issue of the heading, because I think subsection 2 had an impact on what the heading of that particular section is, if the committee accepts the return of subsection 2.
Looking, I think we're talking about the heading of 3A.
So we agree.
Do we agree? Honourable member, it's the previous 3A, the powers of the minister to issue policy guidelines. Okay, Mr. Maslow.
Sorry, Chair, and I appreciate that the Honourable Member was saying. There's two aspects to this particular new section, the one and the two. And the heading, if we leave it as it is, would only refer to two, yes, and not deal with one. At some other iteration, I think it was the powers of the minister to determine national policy and issue policy guidelines. Mm-hmm. But it might be long, I don't know, in terms of protocol.
Municipal mm-hmm. bill.
No. This is the new section 3A. Is
okay. René?
I think as the legal team have outlined that we are dealing with two issues, you know, a policy and an enabling instrument, the guideline afterwards, maybe the heading should actually reflect both.
Mm. Powers of the minister to determine national policy and issue policy guidelines. Okay. Mr. Honorable Koranoff, I thought you disagree. You're fine with that? Okay. Yeah.
Just to confirm them, it's the powers of the minister to issue policy and policy guidelines. Would that be, or is it to determine policy and issue policy guidelines? To determine policy and issue policy guidelines. Okay, I have it like that.
Yes, Chair? Okay. Advocate?
Yes, Chair, just to put NRF as at ease, USAP 2 is discretionary. The minister doesn't have to issue policy guidelines. Hence, he says the minister may, after consultation. If there is a need, then the minister is going to issue those guidelines. But if there's no need, the minister doesn't have to issue those policy guidelines.
Yes, Chief? We agree. Dr. Q?
I'm learning, Chair.
Before you indicated that you're not a lawyer, so the legal people are interpreting your thoughts and to legal matters. Thank you. You may continue.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, then on page 7, section 4, functions, powers, and duties of the foundation. This, considering what the NRF presented on human capacity. There was just in reading it from a content perspective, there was a question that perhaps the department and the NRF can clarify on 1A, whether it can be argued that human resources must also then be changed to human capacity in that section. Chair, I get the indication from my colleagues at the NRF that then that would also be human capacity in 1A. Of section 4, then it will read human capacity, research infrastructures, and research capacity instead of human resources. If the committee so wishes.
Yes, Chair.
I'm looking at the Roman figure A. There's another capacity at the bottom and research capacity in the areas of. So I'm not sure if it's still going to read correct when we have two capacities next to each other. Yeah. But otherwise, in terms of what the function is, I'm happy with the way it is. For me, it's just an issue of semantics.
I think it talks of appropriate human resources, research infrastructure, and research capacity. For me, it seems like an emphasis, but they'll explain to me. Dr. Kovac.
Through you, Chair, if my colleague to the right doesn't like to see too many capacities in a paragraph, we could simply say development of appropriate human and research capacity and infrastructure, because human capacity is just but one aspect of capacity. Mm-hmm. Research capacity encompasses other elements beyond people.
Oh. Advocate? Mm-hmm. You're fine.
So what's the proposal?
Read, promote, and develop of appropriate human and research capacity, research infrastructure, or and research infrastructure in the areas of science and technology. Okay. Honorable members, you agree. Papra?
Thank you, Chair. Then through you, Chair. Honorable members, the Section 4, there's a proposal for inclusion of a small a, capital A subsection to implement the policies referred to in 3A. That's just a consequential knock-on. Then there is a proposal to replace the 1B and merely say promote a support, and now with the department's or the NRF's input, advanced research. And a link to that, there is a proposal to delete E, which is on the... at the bottom here, sorry, at the bottom of page 7, then to delete E from the NRF, reading B and E, and speaking with Renee on a content perspective, it is possible to read B and E together, and perhaps just then, if the committee so wishes, to collapse E into B if that content must be maintained or retained. That is an option, or then if the committee so wishes, from a policy perspective, E can just stay where E is, and that remains in the Principal Act. That was just from our understanding of what is being said, that option is there. E can fall into B, or B and E can be kept separate. Then the NRF wants propose that the proposed new sub D, allocate funds for research and promote multidisciplinary and transdisciplinary collaborations, be deleted. That seemed like a content policy decision, but from my legal mind, it had no. I can't state whether it's good or bad. That's purely policy. And then similarly, they agreed with everything that is being proposed, except they would also like H that says review research proposals and results promoted by the foundation on page 8, and then on page 9 at the top, all the M's, manage and support and monitor, investigate and assess, and incubate, qualifying national research, that the NRF would also like removed from the bill as tabled. Chair, those are all policy decisions for the committee to decide whether these functions stay and or go, basically.
Honourable members. Dr. Lutrat.
sorry, just in terms of B and E and the possibility of collapsing them, we could perhaps just hear, is there any other way then? Because if one collapses it, it basically means that the NRF only promotes and supports research by awarding contracts, grants, scholarships, etc. But if it's separate, it also makes provision for another way of promoting. Mm.
Dr. Kovacs. Chair, through you, the idea, Chairperson, of enhancing B in the manner that has been proposed and deleting E is also taking into account the bottom of page 9 under subsection 2, which talks to, in order to achieve its object, the foundation may, under A, the revised A, do the following, which are things that are actually cited in 1. And so it's about making sure that we don't end up with a lot of repetition.
Okay. Professor, subsection 1 deals with the function. And then subsection 2 is in order to achieve now the objective. And what is provided in subsection 2 is discretionary. The foundation may. It may not. But the subsection 1 is a function, is something that they must do. That's what I want to clarify. That's my first clarity. And the other one that I want to get into is the difference between B and E. OB is more general. They must promote, support, and advance research in general. And in paragraph E, they must promote and support research by doing ABC. So those two tend to be different, as the honorable member was raising from the other side. And then the other thing I need to get into also, Chairperson, is the function that they want to delete, which is paragraph D. Paragraph D is dealing with the allocation of funds for research and promote multidisciplinary collaboration. I couldn't get the reason for the deletion, but for me that is a function that is allocated to this body. The NRF is a crucial statute and is established to do certain things, and one of the things that they must do is provided in the functions. So the functions is the main core for the foundation to perform its function or even to achieve its objectives. So I'm just trying to bring that clarity to the committee.
Testing.
Actually, after considering what has been said, I think it would be a good idea to retain the functions, unless maybe the NRF has a different view.
Dr. Kuben. It's always dangerous to be among many lawyers and to express an opinion. But I think we have functions that are articulated in the object of the foundation, and that those are statutory obligations that the organization must do. We have further expanded on those under Subsection 4. And then further in subsection 4.2, we are then indicating how they do it, how they perform these functions. So I think it's important to make sure that we don't conflate functions with how you should be actually undertaking these functions. So I submit with humility, Chair, that D and E are how you actually undertake your work. It's not what work you should be doing. The function of the organization is not just merely to disperse funds. It is to support, advance, promote knowledge generation. That's the function. The use of money is but one way of doing that, and allocating of resources is a way of achieving that you are expected to. So Chair, it is being mindful that what is in 4.1 need not be issues of how you go about doing things, but what you should be doing. And in 2, it gives you a sense of how you should be doing things. And so the two need to be complementary, but I think chairperson distinct. Advocate.
Objectives of the foundation are set out in clause 3. And those are the broad objectives of the foundation. You create this body, and then this is the objectives for the creation of it. Why are you creating it? In order to achieve these objectives. And then you read those objectives with 4.2, as the member from NRF is saying. In 4.2 now it says, in order to achieve its object, the foundation may. So what I was trying to point out is there is an objective in 2. And then in 4.2, in order to achieve, it may do either of the things which are mentioned in 4.2. And that is discretionary. They don't have to. It's just a guidance to say, you may do these things. It's a guidance. They may do other things. And the emphasis that I'm putting in 4.1, this is a function of the foundation. What are the functions? And you need to set those functions in the legislation. You can't say it's operational. Legislation must be clear. You're creating what are the functions of the body. And this is what is provided for in 4.1.
4.1 should not be operational.
Dr. Lutrick? Advocate, can you explain again the 4.1 in 4.2 is clarifying 3, the object.
Mm.
And then 4.1 states what those functions are that they may or may not, then in 2. So we retain that. So it is necessary that they are there. D must be retained. A must be retained, and so forth. So, DST.
Yeah, I agree with everyone that actually with the advocate. Yes, that we need to retain D and E. And for me, I think E is very important because the primary function of the NRF, you know, if we don't take into account the national facilities, is to award research grants and bursaries for postgraduate students. So having it in the Act, it actually clarifies the bigger mandate of the NRF.
Thank you, Dr. Kobela, taking into account your disclaimer at the beginning.
No, my disclaimer will always remain, Chair. You will forgive me for being pedantic, as I said in last week. If you read the revised, or should I say the proposed B, in the second column, it says to promote, support, and advance research. If I then read E, it says promote and support research. And then it says by. The by is then picked up in 2. The by, those buys of how you know, the awarding of, is picked up in 2, in the second part of 4, on the bottom of page 9. Because if you look at 2A, award grants to individuals for research infrastructure, human capacity, coordinate research, and relevant. So what all I'm humbly suggesting, Chair, is to make sure that we don't add things into the functions which are also being picked up again in the way in which you are expected to implement. Thank you, Chair, and I think I've said more than I should.
Barbara?
Thank you, Chair. Just listening to the discussion, maybe it's a issue of wording. D does capture a function, but it also captures an operational issue. I think it has both. So just listening to colleagues from the NRF, maybe the and this is my humble proposal, maybe D should read promote multidisciplinary and transdisciplinary collaboration, because everything else reads promotes, allocates, promotes. It gives that idea of a function. And then E, and I think this is what Renee and I saw, is promote and support research. But by the word of the contracts and the grants and the scholarships, that's then emphasized in 2. So perhaps then through just a bit of a redraft, we can work in the allocation of funds that speak to D, but then keep the promote multidisciplinary and transdisciplinary collaboration as a function, and then substitute the organizational part of the allocation of funds into the 2 that speaks to the 2. Then you clear up this this issue of implementation and what is the function, what is the implementation. I think it's just that the 2 kind of collapse into each other in sub-D.
Yes,
then do we then make number 2 to be mandatory? Maybe delete the may and just leave it that as something that it is the NRF has to do.
Barbara?
I think if sub 2 gets made compulsory, if you tweak the may, then you're taking away a lot of the implementation discretion. With the awarding of grants, there's a lot of other things that come into play. So the may there is almost as empowering as a may would be when you're referring to a minister and saying, in exercising these functions, this is your tools. This is what you can use to get to those functions. So the obligation is still there to reach the functions, but you can choose how to do it out of this list almost.
Kate?
Yeah, Yes, I'm in agreement with that. U2 is a discussion. And then U1 is an obligation. It's something that they must do.
Thank you. Okay, Barbara.
Thank you, Chair. And just a technical oversight on my side. I indicated in the third column, just in green, there's a few sub-clauses that I just indicated where and must come in to just for technical perspective, finish off the clauses. Because taking some out now, you just need to shift the and up or down, but that's purely technical. Then, Chair, on page 11, at the bottom, 4A, deals with the exercise of the powers of foundation outside the Republic. I know the committee had questions with regard to should the foundation work outside, shouldn't they? That's policy issues that I can't speak to. I just had as mentioned in the previous meeting, Chair, we're trying to avoid the use of the word shall. So there's a proposal just for a slight redraft in the third column. It doesn't change the content of what is proposed in the bill as tabled. It's merely just trying to clean it up a little bit, removing brackets, because in commas you use brackets when you draft contracts and that, but in legislation it's awkward. So rather to put commas into sub 1 instead of the brackets there, and then in sub 2 for it to read, subject to the provision of subsection 3, the provision of this act applies to the foundation insofar as possible when it exercises its powers in terms of this section outside the territory of the Republic, and then in 2, notwithstanding any to the contrary contained in this act, the terms of and conditions on which the foundation may undertake research in terms of subsection 1 must be agreed upon and then approved. It's merely making it just clearing it up so you can easily see it. I don't know if the concerns about the outside work is captured properly. I didn't try to tweak anything policy-wise. I hope I didn't change it, but it's for the committee to decide whether that is preferred or not.
We are fully appreciative of the amendment, Chair.
Okay. DST? Oh, let me just finish. NRF Bamasam.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Just a small correction, I think. I might be wrong, but in the new insertion under subsection 2, subject to the provision of subsection 3, the provisions of this Act applies to the foundation insofar as is possible. Is that, am I reading it right? Thanks.
And then, Chair, consistent with what our colleague was saying, we would then remove the brackets in 3A on page 12.
Okay.
We agree with the suggestions.
Martin, Minister.
Thank you, Chair. Just a flagging that it may not be an issue, but under section 4, sub 4, on page 11, it says quite specifically, apart from the research conducted by the National Research Facilities, the Foundation may not itself conduct research other than research relating to the efficient and effective execution of its duties, of its functions. But then, exercise of powers of the Foundation outside the Republic, the Foundation may, leave out the sub-clause, undertake research in any territory outside the Republic. Well, that seemed to be contrary signals being given. Supporting research, promoting research outside the Republic, I could fully understand. But conducting research is a different matter.
No, Chair, and my colleague who's in limbo, there is a clause where it does say, unless requested
by the minister. Maybe Dada Martin, we could say, unless approved by the minister, rather than request, because the request would only come from her.
In four.
So unless approved by the minister, which would then be consistent with 4A1, because there is prior approval of the minister that is required for the foundation to undertake research outside of the borders of the Republic.
Yes, please,
I agree with the comment.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with Dr. Q, because this request outside the Republic, as in one, it stated that it will be at the request or with the prior approval of the minister, and it's in terms of the international agreements, which is the duty of the executive and cabinet to do so. It will come from the executive. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Honorable members, we agree. Thank you. Barbara.
Thank you, Chair. I so noted and feel included in the going forward like that. Then, Chair, on the bottom of page 12 through you, National Facilities for Research, section 5, it's also one of those long ones that runs until page 14. There, the NRF did not add anything to what is proposed by the bill as tabled. So everything stays. The only thing that we picked up is maybe a comma, but that's not necessarily here nor there in sub 3, just the after facilities, comma, other than research facilities placed under the control of the foundation, because you have a comma again without. But that's a technical one. Everything else stayed the same prior to or after the submissions last week.
Everybody agree? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Let's continue back.
Thank you, Chair. Then through you as well, Section 6 deals with the board of the foundation. Also one of these long ones that runs over pages until page 18. There was on sub 6, B, there we have a comment there that the NRF proposed the insertion of the word office in the presentation last week, but the word office is already in the bill as in the principal act. So that may just be one of those things like mutatis mutandis that slipped in last week from the different versions that one gets on a bill. So just a comment there that is actually there. And the rest then is the same as with 5. Everything remains the same as with the bill as tabled.
Great.
Okay.
Continue.
Thank you, Chair. Then 6A on page 19 deals with the dissolution of the board. There, the only thing that is changing is in in sub 6, and why I'm mentioning it is just I recall it coming back from the amendments that the blanket, the large-scale amendments across all the science and technology amendment bill across all. I think it's in that one where the committee decided to submit a report to the National Assembly, and now the proposal from the department is that it's submit a report to Parliament, which will then include the broader both houses. Just as a highlight, that's going to be an implementation change on Parliament side when it comes into effect. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, we're fine. Yep. Okay, thank you. Please continue.
Thank you, Chair. Then Section 7, meetings of the board. There is just a slight proposal as to the structure in sub 3, that it reads the chairperson may at any time convene a special meeting if the board, comma, must within 14 days of the request convene a special meeting of the board signed by at least one said, and must determine the time and place. To just, it read a little bit strangely. I'm still not sure it reads completely clearly, but we're trying to tweak it a little bit that it reads more consistently, because there's a lot of mays and musts, and must determine the time, may determine a special meeting, must if somebody else asks for a special meeting do this, just to kind of split it up that the poor chairperson also knows where, how, and what. I don't know if it reads clearer, that's for members to decide, but that's just our proposal to just break it up a little bit.
Fine. Just fine. SLA, fine. Minister, fine. Honorable members, fine. Okay. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you, Chair. Then everything else in that section stays as tabled. On page 22, the committees of board.
Honorable King. Page.
Just need clarity on page 21, since number 4. The quorum for meeting of the board is the majority of its members. To me, it sounds a bit open-ended if you see majority. I would have liked if we could have been more specific to a third of its members, because the maximum they should have 11 members on the board. So majority could mean 10, 9. So I just feel we should be a little bit more specific there.
Chair, if the members so wish, we can specify. I think it's a corporate governance decision that comes into play here. If you want to just say a majority, which sometimes is preferred, or if two-thirds is a higher majority, that's you usually say two-thirds when you wish to have a higher majority to make a decision. Otherwise, it will be half plus one for majority. So that's a policy decision, Chair. I'll be guided by you.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. Ours is just to say this is 50 plus 1. It's a majority. Ordinary majority. That's the way. Maybe we can just be specific on those. Thank you.
Majority. Thank you. Thank you, Honourable King. Okay, that's it.
Thank you, Chair. Just to clarify, would members like ordinary to be included before majority to qualify that as stated by my colleague, or do we leave it as majority? Leave it as majority. Then through chair, just coming back to the bottom of page 22, section 8, dealing with the committees of board, the NRF proposed the deletion of sub 5, which the department is proposing to be inserted, but as they stated, there was consensus in the previous meeting, so the sub that will be deleted from the bill as tabled, or the proposal is, a member of the board may not serve on more than 2 committees at a time. If I recall correctly, that was stated as a practical consideration for functionality purposes, so that's a policy decision, Chair.
PNRF? TST? Okay. All right. So everybody agrees? Thank you. Over to you, Dr. Lutz.
Thank you, Chair.
And because we're freezing also, yeah. Can you reduce it there? Scientists will help, so. No, Lee. Let's continue.
Thank you, Chair. On page 23, Chair, section 9, the Executive Management Committee, this links again to section 12 and the divisions. So the proposed redraft there will be subject to what is decided in section 12. Merely the if necessary is dropped 2C. That was a proposal by my colleagues from the State Law Advisor, and I agree that that reads better. If you say and if and you have the if necessary there at the bottom. Apologies, I think there must just that other and if must come out, and if necessary, that's an oversight on my side. But that
so
will, prime B.
NRF, we're fine. DST, we're fine.
And Chair, this is then also the section that we mentioned last week, that permission will have to be requested. So subject to what is decided in Section 12, that will then have a knock-on effect that if the committee then seeks to amend Section 9, permission will have to be requested from the House in terms of the rules.
You're fine. Okay. Anna Fuller?
I just need clarity on page 24, around point number 3, Chief Executive Foundation.
Oh. Okay. Are we not there? Are we there, Chair? No?
No.
Oh, I'm fast.
You studied then.
Thank you, Chair. Then for you, Section 10 is the Chief Executive Officer of the Foundation, 24. I think this is the section that Honourable Member is speaking to. There was no additional inputs from the NRF, so that stays with the amendments as tabled, and then I'll take guidance from you, Chair.
Thanks, Honourable Fuller.
Yeah, I just need clarity on point 3. It says the Chief Executive Officer must be appointed or be reappointed, but not exceeding 5 years. I'm a little bit confused. What does that mean? For how long are they staying? They stay for 5 years, and then another 5 years? But what is it? I just need clarity.
Okay. Another? Oh.
Chair, if through you, Chair.
Yes, please.
The term of office of the Chief Executive can be anything from 1 year to 5 years. If they're appointed for a 5-year term, and if they're reappointed for a 5-year term, with regard to the additional 6, they may not serve a third term, irrespective of its duration.
Thank you, sir. Then it needs to be, Chair, it needs to be clear. Because here it's like, but not exceeding 5 years. So it needs to be clear to say you cannot go for the second or the third term. Then it's clear.
Are you covered with the 6?
Yes, Chair. I'm covered under 6, but it means 3. It's confusing. So it needs to be cleared up. So that it's there. Because even if it's for more than, not more than 2 terms, but here it's talking another something.
So the clarification of a term, so that then he may not serve, he or she may not serve 2 terms of 5 years each. So the clarification of what does a term mean?
The English says the Chief Executive Officer must be appointed or reappointed for such period, but not exceeding 5 years. Yeah? And subject to such condition, including, okay, but when you go at number 6, it says not more than 2 terms. That one is very clear. But this one of to be reappointed for such period, but not exceeding 5 years, I don't think it's talking to number six.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. And then Dede Mahlangu can assist me where the idea is to give the board the ability to appoint an individual for a period up to but not exceeding 5 years. They could offer a term of 3 years. So if the person does a five-year term in the first cycle, they could potentially be offered a second appointment for a three-year term. But it does not mean after that 3 years they would be eligible for further appointment because they would have completed their second term. So they would not have a 10-year term of office, but they would have an 8-year term of office, and they would not be eligible for any other term beyond what they have served. I hope that helps, Chair.
Well, Chuck, and then followed by Honorable Ndongwe. Hear you, ma'am.
At it's all over the show, this chess thing. At number two, the chief executive officer must report to the board on those affairs which the board may require. So it doesn't sound right for me. On those affairs that the board may require. I would like to read it and see it something else there. The chief executive officer must report to the board on affairs which the board may require. Not may require. On those affairs.
You want us to delete those and may?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Honorable, thanks. Honorable Ndongeni.
Thanks, Chair. Can't we add on that 5-year city per term?
Yes.
Can't we add on
yeah,
three
on section what?
On three.
Okay.
Still on that, the chief executive officer must be appointed or reappointed for such period, but not exceeding 5 years. Per term. Per term. At least to add per term. Yes. And it makes sense to me.
Appointed or reappointed for a term not exceeding 5 years. For a term not exceeding 5 years. Covers you. Maybe the
on issue number two, I believe that the role of the chief executive officer is also to report to the board. Now, why does it say on those affairs which the board may require? Because it is your role to report to the board.
That's the issues that Honorable Tuck was raising. So that it becomes obligatory for, Barbara?
Thank you, Chair. I noted the sub 2 and sub 3. I think that actually the phrasing to say a term not exceeding 5 years, the word term will then link up to sub 6. Which also says the chief officer may not serve for more than 2 terms. So that the term actually, because the one spoke of a period and the other one of a term, that will then make the link up quite clear.
Kate?
Professor? Yes, what is intended for subsection 3 is for the CEO to be appointed for a period not exceeding 5 years and to be also eligible for another additional period of not exceeding 5 years. Maybe it doesn't come out clearly the way it is phrased in the bill. It may be redrafted to say the chief executive officer must be appointed for a period not exceeding 5 years and may be reappointed on expiry of that term for an additional period of not exceeding 5 years, and then the rest. That will bring clarity to the clause.
Agree. Mr. Masango.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I endorse that approach. I think it needs to be cleaned out a little bit. Thank you.
Just to be fine.
Thank you, Chair. So noted, but with your permission then, in that phrasing, I'm just going to replace period with term again, just to pull that through. Chair, then, with permission, on page at the bottom of page 25, there's a proposal that in the bill, and the NRF did not object, that accounting officer that completes section be deleted. So I'll take guidance from you, Chair.
Can you repeat that, please, sir?
Apologies. There's the bill proposes that section 11 dealing with the accounting officer be deleted. The NRF did not. Not pose any objections to that in their presentation, so I'll take guidance from you and the committee chair.
No,
Chair, we felt that this was unnecessary because the PFMA makes this obligatory in any case. And we have an insertion in the bill to clarify that the foundation is subject to the PFMA, which it already is in any case.
Yes, Chair.
Yeah, we support that, Honorable Chair, because the PFMA already, this is in conflict, in fact, with the PFMA. So that's the deletion.
Okay. Advocate?
Yeah.
You're fine. Honorable Member? Fine. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Then on page 26 is the much debated section 12, the divisions of our foundation. The bill proposed the section be redrafted to read the foundation may, after consultation with the minister, establish or disestablish organizational divisions for four different research fields or functions consistent with the object of the act. That then the NRF proposed in the previous meeting be deleted. As highlighted, I think the where the difference may come is the word may, which is empowering the foundation if they so wish to have divisions. There's no obligation on that to be so, but for future purposes that would allow the foundation to adjust its structure if necessary. But I'll take guidance from you and the committee chair as to the policy, whether the policy decision is to keep it or not.
Yes,
initially, on the Act, the divisions were specified to say, social sciences, humanities, health sciences, etc. But then the discussion we had, we realized that since this has not happened, we may not need this. But after the discussions we've had here and realizing that this is not mandatory, we may maybe consider leaving this because the NRF is not obliged, but should there be a need, they will have the Act to back that decision if maybe they decide to create such divisions. Just that what I think maybe we may consider maybe deleting is the functions and maybe leave it at the research fields.
Mr. Sopi, did you want to say something? Honorable Fuller?
Clarity. Are you saying these divisions are being deleted because they were never existent or they were never used? I still have to understand that.
Okay.
I hope I'm not incriminating the organization when I say that the structure of the organization, as determined by the board in consultation with the minister at the time of the establishment of this organization 20 years ago, was never structured in a manner as envisaged in the original formulation of the Act, i.e. having divisions
for natural sciences and engineering, social science, humanities, it was felt at the time that there were better ways of structuring the organization to be able to deliver on the mandate that was given. The reason why we felt it would not be useful to have Section 12 is that you want to give the board the opportunity of designing the organization in a manner that is appropriate at any given in time to enable them to deliver on what is it that the legislation expects of them and what the minister obviously expects also in law elsewhere. So all we are saying, Chairperson, is that this particular formulation was restrictive to the extent that the organization would not have been able to function as expected.
So the organization has been functioning as one, not just, yeah. Okay. DST? Oh. Let me get Ms. Honorable Mfulo so that then we can respond to your question.
Chair, in short, you are saying these divisions were never used or just they were not existing. We were doing something else as a research foundation, because that's exactly what I understand or hear. To say these were not necessary, they were doing something else instead of doing this. Now they've realized that they don't want this. But the reason is, even if you did not use it, now my question is, why was it not adhered to? There must be reasons. You cannot just take it out because it was not used. Maybe they were not following their own act, whatever, but why is it out? Because for me, this is science, engineering, social science, humanities. Who's doing this? If they take it out. That is the question that I also want to say. They take it out, is it done by other departments or what? Because when you talk about research, it should research in everything. You cannot be... You cannot decide that I only want to research on one thing, the rest out. So that's my thinking, but someone must convince me. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just a brief moment back in history. In the first instance, currently the organization supports every facet of knowledge, from natural sciences, social sciences, engineering, health, agriculture, environment, and indigenous knowledge. But it is not structured in a divisional format. So in terms of delivering on the mandate to support all those knowledge areas, it is doing so, but it chose to structure itself differently, but to achieve the same object. So that's the one issue. The second issue, just going back in time, Chair, in 96, 97, there was a review of the agency function, which brought together the old Center for Science Development of the Human Science Research Council and the old Foundation for Research Development to create the National Research Foundation. It was hoped that the same functions that were happening at the Medical Research Council would also come to the National Research Foundation. They didn't. Likewise, the same functions that were existing at the Agricultural Research Council would also come, and they didn't, for reasons that, Chairperson, I'm not necessarily privy to. So the Medical Research Council continues to function as it was, and the NRF and the MRC are partners in advancing research in health sciences. But the logic of creating divisions in the manner initially envisaged did not appear to be a useful, efficient way of executing the mandate of the organization, and hence why that structure of the organization was not used, not to say that these functions did not exist.
Thanks, Dr. Lottrud.
Chairperson, just to say that I fully support the divisions of the foundation as in the bill with that first paragraph and then scrapping the rest, because it's extremely prescriptive and science changes and divisions can change. So I think as it is here, divisions of foundation, and with that paragraph there, it's enabling and allows for the NRF to do that if they so wish.
So we bring back the first paragraph and delete. So we retain blue and delete the red. Okay. NRF?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. One of the issues that we raised in the previous meeting was around the definition and understanding of what a division is. Because in the current Act, you would understand that it was intended to be a structure that caters for the listed fields of research. Now, if that part of the Act is deleted and you have the one that is proposed in the bill, which talks about general, how would it read, for different research fields or functions, particularly or functions, it still remains in my mind. I do not have an understanding, a clear understanding of what is envisaged as a division within the foundation. So the two, either you amend the definition and be specific about what is intended to be a division, and deal with that in the definition section of the Act, and then you can leave Section 12 as currently proposed. Otherwise, that's why in our submission we indicated that if you're talking about functions, about business units, surely you do not want the foundation to be in consultation with the minister to determine operational functions of an entity. Thank you, Chair.
So when we read page 27, it must page 26. It's with also going back to page 3 of the division. So, advocate.
Yes, Chairperson. The division will have to be amended. The definition of the division, because it's not established in terms of Section 12. The better wording perhaps could be, a division means a division of the foundation envisaged in Section 12.
Okay, Pepper. Honourable members, do you agree? Okay. Honourable Mfulo, if I...
where does it come from? But it still does not clear for me how do they work. For an example, you were talking about medical research, agricultural research, the relationship, because you say they do have a relationship. Where does it put in here so that we should not lose anything? Because for me, as a national research, as a national structure that does research, it means they work with other, you know, individual structures. Now, if they work with individual structures and it's not so clear here in their Act, then, but let's go, Chair. It's fine.
I think instead of divisionalizing them or putting them in different compacts, they looked at all of them as one. And yes. So I think then the blue aspect of page 26 then covers that, and then also the page 3 we will then amend as proposed. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. Mrs. Sopa,
does it really cover? I've not looked at the Act at all, but I'm just asking myself sitting here that to say what we are agreeing upon in terms of the object of the Act, does it really cover those other research, whatever, but I'm just asking.
Honorable King? Yeah.
Chair, maybe to come in there on page one. The principal Ekin bill. If you read after the blue of advance, it says, and promote science engagement to develop support and maintain national research facilities to promote the development and maintenance of national science systems and the support of government priorities. So national science systems, is encompassing everything.
You chair. Honorable Mfolo, if you look also, I support what Honorable King has just said, but also if you look at the objects, they include those divisions. But like Dr. Q has already said, it was chosen not to divisionalize them, but the foundation, it's still its object to do, to conduct research in those, what do they call them, human sciences, in all of them, is still in the object, so it's still taken care of. It's not taken out of the National Research Foundation. It's just that now it's not divisionalized currently. Thank you.
Mr. Mahlangu.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Just to go back on the Section 12, then, as we retain, I think there was consensus with colleagues from the department that the reference to functions in that definition, if it is retained, these functions should be left out, because our understanding of functions, again, is those operational units and departments, for which I'm still submitting that those are not matters for consultation between the board and the minister. Thank you,
sir. So you wanted to say to, for different research fields consistent with the object of the Act. In fact, really.
With your permission, Chair, then just a point of clarity. A key part of this amendment bill is to include science engagement as a function of the NRF, as a legislated function of the NRF. So should we not then retain function? Because unless it's seen as a research field, I'm not clear on that, Chair.
Dr. Pumet.
Chairperson, hopefully this will be the last time I'm speaking. I think a possible way out would just simply be to put a full stop after divisions. And for the clause 12 to read, the foundation may, after consultation with the minister, establish or disestablish organizational divisions, full stop. Consistent with the object of the Act, yes, or comma, and then, because then you are enabling.
Advocate. Thanks, Barbara.
Thank you, Chair. I've made note of that. Chair, then through you, Section 23 of 13 on page 27. I'm losing all numerical skills. Section 13 on page 27. The NRF did not propose any additions in last week's meeting to the bill as table. Just quickly from our office's side, we had a bit of fun with a sub three just to clean it up a little bit. It does not change the meaning. It still reads the same whether the committee chooses to retain the commas or to use the Roman numeral. We just went first reading it, thought it looked a little bit convoluted, but that is a decision for the committee.
Honorable
Fuller. This section, is it not operational issue? Do they come into the Act? Because for me, they're not supposed to be here. It's operational. But I'm open up to be corrected. Staff of the staffing of the foundation, that is an operational thing. It's got nothing to deal with the Act. Otherwise, all the Acts must have staff issues and everything. But I'll be corrected by the gurus.
Barbara.
Thank you, Chair. Through you, Chair, there is in most of the organizational bills
in science technology when we looked at it last, there's a brief outline just to give clarity as to what the CEO can do or not do. I read it as an issue of the principle of legality, as somebody can only do that which legislation gives them power to do. Then regulations will allow the relevant people to do the, I don't want to say the groundwork, but you need to, the way we read legislation is somebody must know what their power is or what they may do or must do, and then from there clarity will be given through guidelines and policies and regulations. So the staff of the foundation is more to, the way these clauses are inserted is to tell the chief executive officer that he or she may, on such conditions the board says, do X, Y, and Z, may allow for the secondment of someone to another department or another foundation or how it works. And then, but the details and I want to say the T's and C's and the dotting the I's and crossing the T's, that's then where the operational aspects come in. Thank you, Chair.
And to get somebody also to respond so that then maybe your question will be fully answered. Mr. Shop.
Chair, honorable members, firstly, we must understand that the staff of the foundations are not covered by the Public Servants Act, by the Public Service Act, number one. So the board, the foundation, as a creature of statute, cannot do what's not provided in the statute. So what we are trying to do here is just to give the board and the chief executive officer powers now to determine policies that will determine their employer-employee's relationship. But the details, as my learned colleague Barbara has already said, it will be in the policies that will be determined by the board. This is just an enabling environment as a creature of statute. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Advocate?
Yes, that is in order, Chairperson. It should be in the legislation.
Honorable Mfulo?
Hi, Chair. We are learning. But for me, it should be part of, cannot be an act, cannot, unless, I don't understand. But if this functions, irrespective of its foundation, there are regulations. Why is it not part of the regulations? Because it has to deal with the day-to-day running of the organization by the CEO and the board. It's got nothing to deal with the act. But if they saw it in other acts, in my layman's understanding, this is part of regulations. It's not part of the act. Because it's a, the act is very broad in what needs to happen, but the regulation will be specific and policies. So they must, the foundation must have its own policies that they derive it from the act itself, including their regulations that comes from the act itself. I'm not a lawyer, I don't know anything, but simple things go that way. It's simple as that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Barbara.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'm going this is now where lawyers try. We catch ourselves when we speak legalese, and I apologize for that. I think what Honourable Member is saying through you, Chair, is exactly actually what is happening here. The regulations is indeed where the details are, operational issues are clarified. But it's almost a requirement of law, and the Constitutional Court has kicked regulations out. If you can't link that regulation or the decision that you make operationally back to a clause or a section in the Principal Act of any piece of legislation, because then the courts say that you can't do anything in your office or in your department or in your administration if you can't link it to a power source in the legislation. And what 13 is doing is it's merely making sure that whatever happens now on the ground in your regulations and your policy, and as my colleague says, that the decisions of the board as to how they will contract with those employees, it basically gives them that power source to run that through all the those details, which Honourable Member is correctly stipulating must fall outside. So the section doesn't intend to stipulate the terms of the contracts or anything like that. It merely says to the board and the CEO, it's your power and your responsibility to make sure that these employment contracts and employment relationships are properly conducted and instituted. And then how they do that, all of that will fall outside the Act. So this is to safeguard just the foundation that whatever they do now and the board, whatever the board does, is legal in terms of the eyes of the court. I think if we see it as a power source. Thank you, Chair.
Right, okay. Okay. Honourable Mfula.
Thank you, Chair. I don't want to make a debate, but if that is the case, we need to phrase it in such a way it keeps the CEO and the board accountable to what they need to do. But it cannot be explicit as it is. You can decide to hire and fire like it is here. It should not be like that. It should be capturing what you are saying, to say it needs to be somewhere where you hold the CEO and the board responsible towards this. But I'm still saying this is operational. But let's leave it for now.
Other honourable members, we're fine. Okay, let's continue. Thanks, honourable Mfula.
Thank you, Chair. Then, through you, Chair, on page 28, at the bottom, the particular powers of foundation regarding employee benefits is being deleted, I think, for exactly the reason as the Honourable Member pointed out. It's detailed, and I'll defer to my colleague from the department on that.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. As we've already indicated, and Honourable Mfulo has pointed out, these are the particulars now that are dealing with how now the pensions and the finances, the employee relationship will be conducted, and that's why most of this now has been deleted. We just left the Enabling Act for the board to determine those issues. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Honourable Members, you're fine? All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And as my colleague said, 14 knocks on to 15 for the same reason. And then on page 30, 16, because FRD and HSRC, the definitions of the, are also deleted, the staff component there, that section also gets deleted for the transfer of the foundation. And you also have secondment options now at the top as well. So then, with permission, Chair, Section 17, funds of the foundation. Here, the bill as tabled merely tweaked 1B that says money paid to the foundation to be used for national research facilities, their products and services are funds of the foundation. The NRF in their proposal last week suggested that sub B completely be deleted. Just on a quick read through and our discussions from a content perspective after that meeting, we had questions about whether it's arguable that 1F may be wide enough to catch 1B, but the department can perhaps provide clarity on that. And then Renee also pointed out that it refers to money paid by to the NRF for national research facilities, and this could refer to a designated grant from the department. So perhaps that distinction is still necessary because of that aspect that it may include designated grant, but it just puts the committee to decide how it should be read and how wide it should be read and how specific it should be read. But I think this is something that perhaps the colleagues from the department and the NRF can just indicate what does these monies paid encapsulate.
NRF?
Chair, you will recall that when we made our input last week, we indicated that
our role is to provide a service to the research community. So the utilization of national facilities, we cannot charge a student. We don't charge students. We don't charge researchers working at universities for the use, because that is the purpose for establishing those national facilities. It would run contrary to the fact that, at one hand, you give the researcher a research grant to undertake research, and then on the other hand, you charge them for the use of the facility from the very same grant that you have just given them. So the idea that people pay for the use of the national facilities, I think, was possibly erroneous in the way in which it was worded. So that, I think, is the first issue. And then secondly, Chair, whenever there are funds appropriated by other government departments over and above the Department of Science and Technology, that is captured under F. So we, for instance, have agreements with the Department of Trade and Industry, with the Department of Higher Education Training, with a whole range of actors, and that is funds that is designated for a particular purpose, and that would therefore then be covered under 2, and particularly in terms of A and C. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. DST? Agreed. Okay. Honorable members?
Just a quick question, Chairperson. I see the 3A is being deleted, where it must be in each financial year at the time determined by Minister submit a statement of the foundation's estimated income and expenditure. And then also the clause 18, audit general must audit. Is there nothing, where's your financial statements going then?
The PFMA chair covers all of those issues.
Honorable members?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. And Chair, everything else is in the bill as tabled. I hope I'm not misrepresenting my colleagues from the NRF, but they agreed with all the other proposals in the bill as tabled, so the section dealing with intellectual property, as well as the 21 delegations and regulations, they're all amendments as per the bill as tabled. I don't know if Chair wants me to go through each of them specifically, but those weren't, there was no proposal in last week's meeting to tweak any of that.
Members? Okay.
Chairperson, there was one submission. Have you seen that? From Michael Bittenholtz. He's an academic. Where does it fit in, or is it not part of the?
Thank you, Chair. Apologies, I made a note and that completely went out of my mind. The submission, Shanaz did show it to me. The submission, as our office read it, speaks to the memorandum at the end of the act. The memorandum is not part of the legislation it's not going to have legal standing for implementation purposes. But what practice in Parliament always is once a bill has been amended and the committee has voted on it, then we'll just run it through with the department and make the necessary changes in the memorandum at the end for, because that's for research and interpretation purposes for academics. They like reading the memos to understand what happened. So we take note of I think it was an emailed comment but it does not speak to anything in the content of the bill section wise. I think it was more a technical, if you could please rephrase it. Thank you.
Honourable members? I was still quickly going through.
This email, does it mean that I need clarity because it says it needs to protect the knowledge from public funded research and promote knowledge transfer? Because if it is public, if the funding comes from, it's a public fund, why should we protect? I'm a little confused. I'm not so sure what does it say here.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think the comment is specifically directed to what is in the memo, but with respect, I think it's misdirected because it speaks to, it wants to correct what the name of the act. That's what the act says. It's not about whether it's publicly funded or publicly funded. So I think there was a misreading of what was intended in there. Thank you.
Okay. Shana?
I think we must, if we agree to amend that section 9, then as Barbara had indicated, we need to seek the permission of the House. So I just want clarity on that. And if we do, then we've drafted like a report which speaks to that. So.
I'll ask Shanas just to read this.
Okay, the interim report of the Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology on the National Research Foundation Amendment Bill, B23-2018, National Assembly, Section 75, dated 28 February 2018. The Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology, having considered the subject of the NRF Amendment Bill, B23-2018, referred to it and classified by the JTM as a Section 75 bill, reports as follows. The bill seeks to amend the National Research Foundation Act 23 of 1998 in order to affect certain technical amendments and clarify the Minister's regulatory power as well as powers and functions of the Foundation. At its public hearing held on 21 February 2018 and subsequent deliberations on 28 February 2018, the Committee reflected that consideration of the current amendment clauses, which speaks to the structure of the Foundation, may require additional consideration of provisions in the Principal Act that are not currently open to consideration within the scope of the bill as tabled. One such provision is Section 9 of the Principal Act, which speaks to the Executive Management Committee of the Foundation. Recommendation: the Committee recommends that the National Assembly grants permission in terms of Assembly Rule 2864C for it to amend other provisions of the National Research Foundation Act 23 of 1998, report to be considered.
Honourable members, is it okay? But then we have somebody to move that we do that so that we can submit. Honourable Koronov.
I shall move.
You in a seconder? Honorable Mfula, thank you very much. I think the deliberations took us step further, and thank you very much, honorable members, for your engagement, you know, and also that you have applied yourself, not taking what you have been told. We have considered the bill and what's supposed to be there. Thank you very much to each and every one of you. To the NRF, thank you also, Dr. Kobela and your team. Mr. Mahlangu, thank you very much for also giving us your thoughts on answering the whys and the hows and the whats. Thanks. But also to Dr. Barbara Lutz, to Advocate Adila, thanks you, to Advocate Bongiwe, thank you very much, and Dr. Renee, thank you very much for coming and your insight and your thoughts, and also having worked with Dr. Lutz to put together this readable document and that make it easy for us to follow. To the department, thank you very much, DST, all of you, Mr. Cesar, Mr. Lope. Sorry, also on the agenda, you are it's written Miss Lihle Lope. They know Lihle to be a lady or a woman. sorry, apologies on that. So I've and everybody else in the department that was here, thank you. We will then after today wait the decision of the House so that you proceed and finalise as it was read and adopted by the committee. So Shanaz will indicate and communicate with honourable members, also with the NRF and the department. On the processes that will follow. I think also the new minister will be excited. The new bill, she comes straight into the bill. But we'll also inform the former minister on the work that she has done. But once again, Shanaz, also thank you very much. Thanks, everybody. The meeting is then adjourned. Yes, this tea, and you can't have fruitless expenditure. Please eat a drink. It's only me who's on Lent and fasting that, you know, can ignore everything. But thank you very much once again. Have a blessed week. I think we will have a meeting next week, and I just want to bring to the attention of the committee. Yeah, if we will follow whatever, and then if there's a need for a meeting next week, yeah.
For me, I would normally write here so that I can know, but I didn't write everything. As we go, I always write where we're supposed to be amended, because I'm keeping things here. I don't write notes. So for me, it's easier to know as we go, okay, oh, here that I said something, then I will remember. But if God knows, I'm going to check it against also this book. Where's our check it against this book? And forward to her. Must do that, maybe.
Yeah.
And I want to go before she comes to Nepal.
Yeah.
Because she's going to want us to meet. We don't have time for this.
Thank you.